Talking about the Pats, Sox, Celts, Bruins, Revolution, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
We got stretch. Everybody get ready for stretch. This is my favorite part, is stretch. I get to sit down for 10 minutes.
Meet Bob Wiley, the Browns offensive line coach.
I'd rather watch a plant grow than stretch. Stretch is way overrated. Did you know World War I, World War II, all those guys that fought in that war, they did push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, climbed the rope and ran. But none of this fancy shit, okay? Right? And they won two world wars. Two world wars by doing jumping jacks, push-ups, and sit-ups. Two world wars. You think they were worried when they're running across Normandy about stretching? Are you kidding me?
A few people might have pulled a hammy.
Well, let me see. Give me my rubber band so I can stretch to run across that beach. You got to be kidding me.
Hey, look at me. I'm big and fat. Got some chunks and an ass that's hard go to the bathroom.
The Wiley guy from Hard Knocks, the breakout star.
Did the Wiley guy a little bit last week. Not going over very well with the co-host.
Well, like, who is hosting?
Was it Hardy? I think it was Hardy you tried it out on.
No. I think it might have been Breer.
Oh, he didn't like that.
No, I was here when you did it. You might have done it a second time.
I think I did. I did something.
I was here the first time. I loved it.
But I loved it, too. I just...
Hey, everybody, look at me. I made a mess, and I'm embarrassed.
That's all right. That was from Happier Days, maybe three episodes ago on Hard Knocks, the Cleveland Browns. And yesterday was the final episode, the season finale. To be quite honest, I don't like watching the season finale of Hard Knocks. Even when I like the season, I really like this season. Which is, I don't think I've been... I liked the Houston one a couple years ago. Falcons sucked. That was awful. I don't remember what was last year. Was that Falcons? I just know that...
I don't even remember.
There's been a streak of like really bad ones outside of course, the Houston Texans one, which was interesting. And that was mostly just because Vince Wilfork showed up in overalls. The final episode is always where they like cut the guys and it's kind of like depressing and I don't want to watch that. However, you know, they always try to wrap things up with some like really super important message about, you know, teamwork and what it means to truly be an athlete, the Warriors on the gridiron. To me, it just sounded funny when they did it talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Sometimes who is just as important as why. The men who make the Browns' 2018 season are now brothers, bound to each other. How far will they go? As high and as far as they believe they can.
No, that's not really true. They're the Cleveland Browns, which means that they might win two games max, possibly.
Was it Tampa Bay last year, by the way?
Tampa Bay.
Was it Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
I don't remember a single thing about that.
Okay, I remember one thing about Tampa Bay.
And 2 years ago was kickassery. 2 years ago was Jeff Fisher and the Rams.
Okay, no, yeah, but that was one episode.
Yeah, they underused Fisher.
You had one good episode because, Jeff Fisher was...
The rules.
What do you think about the rules? He was Captain Cool Guy. And then they went and focused on, like, the players. I'm like, no, I want to watch the fish do his magic.
Hey, ran out of toilet paper.
There was about...
Would you be a mensch and hand me a couple towels?
There was about 15 seconds of him last night. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would.
Sure. Got my pilot's license and I was a senior in high school. And I would get the dates with the prettiest girls in the senior class. And my buddies would go, how'd you get a date with her? I said, well, number one, I'm better looking than you are.
Okay, all right.
And then I would crush them.
Just like crush them physically?
Yeah, sit on them.
Yeah, they would say, how about I get on top? And I'd say, no way. Hey, did I hear your spine crack? Keep looking around. You'll find it. It's under the flap. Hey, I swear I got male genitals. Just look around underneath my flap. It might be hard to see it. It might take some muscle. But I swear, ladies, it's a two-man job. Hey, 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 I swear I got testicles and a wiener. You just gotta put a little elbow grease.
What?
Maybe you could get a stick and help you with the foot. Push it up. Hey there, let's try. Hey there, why not? I got a sweet flap.
Someone always goes
I'd have bet money you wouldn't have made it to the end. That was
Someone
awesome.
Always goes back to him having a stick.
It's all right.
To take care of business.
You got to have a stick to pry things up.
Okay. Well, there was one interesting moment yesterday.
Please ignore the smell.
Yes, yes, yes. And that was Baker Mayfield, who, of course, is the golden boy, and everyone has fallen in love with Baker Mayfield. And, you know, what, he looked pretty good in the preseason. This is the moment where Hugh Jackson sat down, both he and Tyrod Taylor, or Tyrod, we learned, and informed which one is going to be starting this season. Have you heard this? I have not heard this. So you don't know who's going to be starting?
Well, I do, but...
Oh, you do? Okay, well, let's take this.
The final decision of camp has been made. The team officially has a backup quarterback.
Here, here.
Okay. Hit that door. Grab a seat. I think it's important that I address both of you guys together first. I've made a decision to make Baker the backup quarterback. Yes. I just wanted to make sure I want you guys to hear it from me instead of all the stuff that flies out there and all that bull. I think it's important that you hear that from me, okay? Which is a lot of responsibility for you. Doesn't change for you. Still got to be ready to play, ready to go. But that's the direction I want to travel.
Okay.
Okay. So I wanted you guys to know that. Okay, thank you. I need to speak to you for a second,
okay.
though.
Okay.
Talking to Baker.
I'm proud of what you've done. You've come in here the right way. You've handled everything the right way. And I think that's important for this football team. You're a very talented young man. Keep grinding.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to keep creating situations for you to even do more. You keep doing your part every day. This is going to be your life for a long time. So I hope you understand the opportunity that's in front of you right now. But you've earned it. I'm not just giving it to you. You've earned it. Okay?
Appreciate it.
Proud of you.
Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
By the way, that one stings. Like, you can see it on Baker Mayfield's face. And maybe that says something about his, you know, compete level, as people like to say. But, I mean, he was pissed.
Wasn't he the guy who just barely showed up, wasn't putting in enough hours, you know, showed up at the last minute, wasn't putting in the time at the office at the beginning?
Well, Tyrod Taylor did absolutely everything he needed to do to win this.
Right.
I mean, he was the first guy there. On top of that, do you remember what he told Hugh Jackson when the players weren't, like, they were slacking at practice? Because you know what you could do? You know, videotape these practices and then show it to them when they're in the room and just point out who's being lazy. And the very next scene, he's doing that. Something that I thought every coach knew about, that everyone did. And so here's Baker Mayfield, who kind of showed up. And Hard Knocks showed that he seemed to be a little entitled. He got there, like, kind of late on one of the first practices. Not late, but only, like, an hour beforehand, where Tyrod had been there for hours. And that's the one thing that the Cleveland Browns seem to have done that I would go, all right, good move. However, he's probably pissed off, and he's thinking of Sam Darnold, who's going to be starting this year, and all the other players.
Well, let's not compare yourself to the next Montana. But I watched one of the episodes last night, some of it. Potty mouth on that Baker Mayfield in the huddle. Potty mouth.
Yeah, 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 he does.
Comparing himself to Sam Darnold. Oh, please. Sam Darnold going to go out there and win MVP this year.
The MVP? Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's going to go out there and he's going to prove his dominance. 21 years young.
Youngest starting quarterback in the league.
The youngest quarterback in the history of the league to start an opener.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And I'll be right in there.
You will be at the Jets opener this weekend.
On Monday, a week from, today is Wednesday.
Yeah, 5 days from now. You, Freddie
T. Can't wait to kill 7 hours in Detroit. I still remember the game.
Rich, I don't know if you were here for this conversation. This has been a situation that has been paining Fred for week easily because we had this conversation. What the hell am I going to do for 7 hours in Detroit while I wait for the game? And he's like calling his friend. Oh, what are we going to do? He has no idea
because I don't know.
7 hours in Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know what to do without.
I'm
going to
wake up. Yeah, and I'm going to wake up. I'm staying at this hotel. There's a place nearby where I can go for lunch, and then it'll be 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
and then I have 7 hours to do nothing until kickoff.
Right. I mean, because if you start drinking at, like, noon.
Right. No, this was I remember this conversation. This was the whole thing. I can't start drinking at noon because then by 3 I'll be sleepy, so I have to pace myself. Maybe crack the first beer at 4, 4:30 to kind of set a nice base. It was a whole thing.
You don't want to just do, like, a walking tour of Detroit?
I've walked Detroit.
Here we go.
Several times. So I think we're going to go. I'm going to show my friend Motown. The Hitsville, USA.
Oh.
We will be right back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Hatcher and Rich. Have you read the Globe today?
I have.
Have you read Shaughnessy?
I have not read Shaughnessy yet.
Any questions? If you don't get this right, then you have some mental difficulties.
Okay.
It's on the Patriots, and what is it about?
It's about Brady and his Tom versus Time.
Nope.
It's about how...
It's a phrase.
Oh, it is Shaughnessy, so it's probably about all the negative things surrounding the Patriots. The lack of depth on the offensive line.
This is...
What am I missing?
It's a term. He uses a term.
Oh, tomato can.
Yeah. Yeah. He says all of it is really real and none of it means anything. Things are frosty at the top of the Patriots pyramid. We're not making this up. We have the sound bites from Tom versus Time and Tom with Oprah and Tom with Jim Gray and Tom abruptly ending interviews when he gets asked about Alex Guerrero. Bill Belichick is still angry about having to trade Jimmy Garoppolo and on and on and on. He goes through all the problems and he says, so here we are. Tom doesn't feel appreciated. Bill Belichick's powers have been compromised, and the owner desperately wants more credit and love from everybody, which is part of that book that is pretty funny, is that there's like a triumphant with the Patriots, and Bob Kraft feels like he's on the outside looking in. He feels like he's not getting enough appreciation compared to Belichick and Brady.
This was the problem when Kraft took over, if you remember correctly. When Kraft bought the team, this was the problem with him and Parcells. This was the big struggle. Parcells was like, I'm the football guy. Stay 50 feet back and let me do my thing. And Kraft was like, well, I just paid a lot of money for this team. It's my team. I'll do with it how I see fit. And that's what led to Parcells leaving.
What exactly, and this is, I'm not being sarcastic, and I'm coming from a place of actual curiosity. So you hired Belichick. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Brady. You managed to keep him around.
Yep.
What exactly does he want credit for?
Keeping the band together for all of these years.
All right. So he paid Belichick, and they've underpaid Brady.
Got a brand new stadium built, which, by the way, is no small feat. With
sure.
The local government.
Yeah, but I don't know really what that has to do with their run. Like, what exactly does Kraft...
You can go out and say better facilities. I mean, the players literally had to dress at Schaefer Stadium and drive to a middle school to practice.
Okay, well, Tom...
For a while.
Well, Tom, I just coached Tom. All right, well, John.
Yes.
That was... You could have had that idiot that owns the Browns, and that's not going to happen. I mean, they're obviously going to build better...
You asked what he gets credit for. He gets credit for upgrading the facilities. Gets upgraded for, knowing his head coach and the right guy to hire.
Okay, I want to... Okay, yes.
Because when Belichick was hired, that wasn't a slam dunk hire for
him. I understand that. But other than hiring Belichick, what exactly does he want credit for?
Those two things.
Building the facilities and
getting the facilities built.
Okay, so fair enough. But then why does he feel like he needs equal billing with Brady and Belichick?
I don't know.
Don't you think that that's a little ridiculous?
Yeah, well, yes.
What is it
when these owners together, yes.
Yeah, these owners are
he has taken a very prominent role in, I mean, the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. A Hall of Famer. He's taking
nothing
a
to do with the NFL.
The National Football
this
League.
Has nothing to do with his work in the NFL, and this is nothing to do with him ending that labor dispute that happened.
You're talking specifically the Patriots' success.
According to the book,
okay,
he feels like he is not in the conversation for the Patriots' success along with the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. He feels he's not getting enough credit. And to, I'm asking an honest question that I don't know the answer to. What exactly?
Those two things, and you upgrade the facilities, you attract better free agents. In theory, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't do that.
What?
He didn't attract better free agents. Belichick attracted better free agents.
I understand it. But you could make an argument saying by upgrading the facilities,
John, everyone does that.
I understand that.
Is there a team that's asking me what Kraft's point of view is?
So you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the point I'm making.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you this. The Lions have upgraded their facilities. The Lions have built a new stadium.
And look at all the great free agents that showed up there.
Right. So my question to you is, what owner hasn't upgraded their facilities since?
I understand.
I mean, it's a little bit of crap. I mean,
the Patriots stepped into the late 20th century, you know, by building Gillette Stadium.
He made an excellent choice to hire Bill Belichick, and Belichick
spent some draft picks to do it, if you remember correctly.
I remember where I was. I remember exactly where I was when I was on an island in Florida in a car. I remember exactly where I was when I heard about it. But, a lot of this is like with the owners. I don't understand why they can't. It used to be, and tell me if I'm mistaken, it seemed if you owned a sports franchise, it was like the world's most expensive toy.
Yeah, there are only 32 of them.
No,
I agree.
But if you own any team.
Oh, okay.
Like it was just something that you bought, and it was fun, and you could like entertain, and you were a big shot,
and you immediately became part of a secret society.
Exactly.
No, I understand that. Yes.
Now it's like everyone wants all this credit for what happens on the field. Now you had like an Al Davis and stuff like that, and now
Davis was on the field with a stopwatch. I mean, that was different.
Yeah, but he was also a football guy.
Yes, that's true.
So I just am curious with what exactly Bob Kraft wants.
Patriots specific, I understand your point. Yes.
Yeah.
But the other part of it, I mean, you can't dismiss, you know, all the labor stuff he's done with the NFL.
That's not the argument I'm making.
All right.
I didn't say he wasn't important to the NFL. I'm saying I don't know what he has to do with the Patriots' success.
No, I get it. No, it's Belichick and Brady.
Yes.
Those are the two. Yes.
Yes.
I agree. They are a step forward in this argument.
All right, so then he goes down Shaughnessy with all the problems. Obviously, there's no wide receivers. The first round of the draft looks like a bust. The first three games are not usual layups. They're dangerous matchups coming up as well with Green Bay, Tennessee, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh. Will they miss Matt Patricia, Nate Solder, Danny Amendola, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler? Fair questions again. But again, none of this means anything. You know why? The three horsemen of the tomato can division.
That's true.
Now, granted, they will win the division.
Yeah.
But are you absolutely confident, despite the leadership of Mr. Bob Kraft?
Yes.
Are you convinced that they will get a first-round bye?
At this point, no.
Yes.
I've walked into it, but again, Fred, and I always hate falling back on this. I rail against this, but I fall back on... They always figure it out. They always do. I mean, with these guys at the wheel, they always manage to get it done. They win 12 or 13 games, and they get the one or two seed. Every year, they do it.
Well, I think they're going to lose their first two games.
Look, of course. These first two games look really, really hard. I mean, Houston almost beat them last year, and with a healthy Deshaun Watson, I mean, you would think that they would have an advantage, even though they're coming to Foxborough. And Jacksonville nearly beat them in the AFC championship game last year.
Jacksonville should have beat them in the NFC championship game. They got very, very conservative.
I understand that. I understand Jalen Ramsey was very outspoken on the topic. But
yeah, that's the only reason I know.
In the end, it doesn't matter. Shaughnessy's right. It doesn't matter. Because with these guys, with Belichick as the head coach and Brady as the quarterback, regardless of who's catching passes or who they're handing the ball off to, they always figure it out.
You're not afraid of Peterson in Buffalo pulling some kind of magic?
Oddly enough, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, the best case scenario for the division is someone splits with them.
You have five guaranteed, at least five guaranteed wins out of the division, maybe six, if all goes well.
It's asking a lot for them to run the division.
True it is, but look, the Jets are clearly the second best team in the division.
Well, they're not that great.
They are. Well, and that's my point. They're clearly with the quarterback now, the second best team in the division. They have the quarterback now and the head coach.
Yeah, well,
Todd Bowles.
We'll
I've always thought Todd Bowles a good head coach.
We'll see about Bowles.
You're down on him now?
No, but just Pepper Johnson's talking a bunch of crap about him. So I don't know. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30, 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Patriots season home opener against the Houston Texans this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. That's tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30. Have you seen this show, Sharp Objects, with Amy Adams?
I have not seen it.
Very dark. Very, very dark. Have you seen it, Dan?
Yes, I haven't watched all of the episodes. I don't know if I'm completely caught up, but yeah, at least the first.
Woman who wrote Gone Girl, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the big selling point is that.
She was the big selling point as the actress in it, you know.
Amy Adams?
Yeah, very dark. No, it is. It's very dark.
Yeah, well, sit through the credits at the last one.
Oh, okay.
Because I got up to do something, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, they're screwing with you there during the credits.
Okay.
So you got to sit through that.
Gotcha.
Very dark, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Gets continually darker.
Visually, you know, when it does all those fragmented and it goes backwards and forwards, it's you got to really pay attention to
She's a cutter.
Mm-hmm, she is.
She cuts words. Very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. HBO on demand. Now, what do we know about this Big and Rich? Have they broken up?
Big and Rich? I guess not, because one of the dudes tweeted. I mean, he's the guy who had the socks.
It doesn't say Big and Rich. It's just like, I'm the rich guy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they've broken up. I don't know what the deal is.
And now they're playing a soybean festival coming up. But if you're just joining us, obviously people are up in arms about the Kaepernick Nike endorsement that seems to be going horribly for Nike in that.
Everyone's talking about Nike.
And like Rich has said, they've obviously done, you know, probably about as most extensive research as a marketing company can make before they made this announcement. But Rich from Big and Rich had the balls to go out there and completely placate his audience by having his sound guy cut the swooshes off his socks. And one of the all-time... Like, you have money. Like blow them up. Like, you just cut them off?
Well, I mean, the best part of it, too, is that, wow, it's our sound guy who did it. So if you went to the show, if you happen to notice, like, Jethro the sound guy.
Well, I'm sure they go and make a big speech about Nike.
Okay, all right.
And then have people throw their Nike stuff. Now, what is another example of the butt country?
Oh, Aldean. Jason Aldean is butt country. Oh, Florida Georgia Line is the king of butt country.
Now, don't they have, like, a hit song?
They are Limp Bizkit country music. Like, they are. Oh, yeah, they do. It's
with the girl.
No, well, there might be one with a girl, but they did one with Nelly.
Oh, how they get Nelly?
he was busy doing his Honey Nut Cheerios commercials.
Yeah, they somehow found Nelly was available.
Must be the honey, I think, was the tagline for that.
Is that real?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen Nelly on the Honey Nut Cheerios commercials? Oh, it kind of stands out.
He might not. I might have seen the commercial several times, but not realized it was Nelly.
Oh, well, the Band-Aid under the eye didn't give it away?
Oh, he's still doing that?
Oh, yeah. He's still got that
going
on.
Well, I mean, that's your signature look. you can't go around without
it. Okay, so butt country. Okay, definitely Florida Georgia Line. Jason Aldean. And there's like a bunch of them that put it on modern country nowadays, and it's intolerable. It's absolutely disgusting, except for Chris Stapleton. And there's like one other guy, too. I think Eric Church is all right.
What about, what is the song where they're like...
Okay, Florida Georgia Line's big hit. What was that one?
There's the one with the girl, and then they say...
you know, like I like trucks and beer.
Yeah, right.
Like, let's go out in a pickup truck.
I mean, it's like they went through the, and they've got like the unearned dog tags around their neck and stuff.
Body like a back road.
Oh, that's what it is. Is it called Simple? Is that the one?
It's got skid marks all over it. body like it. She's got a body like a back road. Skid marks on it.
Turn this up. I don't know if this is it. Let's see. Hang on, let me skip to. Oh no, that's a stupid love song. We don't need to hear that. No, where's the what? Yeah, because the one that's like body, I think it's got auto tune too.
Oh, I got to hear it.
Body like a back road. That's it. Oh, it's Sam. That's Sam Hunt, and that's pretty awful. Here we go.
All right, we got a body like a back road.
This is Uncle Cracker.
Yeah, I was about to say someone's gonna sue Uncle Cracker.
Follow me.
And got a girl from the south side. Got brazen hair. First time I've seen a walk by.
See, I like how they make it sound like it's a party in the background. Like, yeah, whoa.
It was like the beatniks. Everyone's just like snapping their fingers.
Right. They're over by the trash can that's on fire. It's like a doo-wop.
Like Cadillac seats. Body like a back road. Driving with my eyes closed. I know every curve. Like
ooh, yeah. Maybe he's talking about his back of his hand. It sounds like a song about self-pleasure.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's, I know it like the back of my hand.
Don't need no belt, but I can turn them inside out.
Yeah, whoa, it's a party here. It's so easy to manipulate dumb people. Just put a bunch of people, woo-hoo, like it's a party. I was like, whoa, it's a party song.
All right, Trainwreck Scott, hello.
Hey, Fred, what up, brother? You guys are playing some hillbilly music today. Hey, you got my interest. What's going on?
Oh, Trainwreck Scott. Yeah, you got...
Yeah, buddy, what's up? No, you need some Glenn Campbell. I've been walking these streets alone. You know what I'm saying?
I know Rhinestone Cowboy.
I'm okay with that.
Words. I know all of them. That, Charlie Rich. Oh, no. Sweet Maria is the song you guys are thinking of, a Big and Rich.
Okay.
Maria...
All right, that's not Big and Rich.
What's going on this stuff?
That's Brooks and Dunn.
What's that?
I get them confused.
Look at you guys going on the hillbilly music this morning. I'm like caught off guard. I wasn't prepared.
All right, well, do you got some one-liners? You like to, Trainwreck Scott, you like to give us some zingers every now and then.
And you like asking us questions, like what's going on.
Yeah,
but I think that's number six in one call.
Hang on, I'll tell you why. Because I'm a stay-at-home dad. I have zero friends. I consider you guys my friends, so I call you up when I feel like I can contribute.
All right, go ahead.
Is that fair?
Please.
Well, no, Glenn Campbell. My mother grew up listening to that. Charlie Rich. That song with Nelly, you're talking Florida Georgia Line, is This Is How We Roll. It's a remix. I listen to this stuff every night on my phone. I don't feel like talking to the wife. You know, I'm serious. She drives me crazy. She's making crafts and asks me, what does this look like? I'm like, like the other five things you just made. It looks the same. It looks great. I love you.
Right.
All right.
No, seriously, but what gets you guys going on country music? Usually you guys are like, I don't know. Well, no, I shouldn't stereotype, but I was like shocked. I'm like, wait a minute, I get you on the phone, and I'm like, Brooks and Dunn and all this stuff. I think they did break up.
Okay, Scott,
all right,
thanks,
man. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, so it is Florida Georgia Line with Nelly.
Wasn't at all what I thought was going to happen there.
Well, he likes calling and goes, hey, what's going on? What are you doing?
I was kind of hoping we'd go in a different direction.
No, Train's got...
That's my fault.
He usually has one-liners about the old lady.
I was ready. Yeah.
There's a song with the girl, and then they say, like, I don't know if we can be in love.
All right.
Yo, oh, yeah, this one's got Nelly.
I meet y'all on the road.
Baby, you a song, make me wanna roll my windows down and cruise.
I got
windows down in the radio. Get your radio.
I mean, stop. I just want Waylon Jennings to raise from his casket and punch this guy in the balls. Hey, Scott Stapp, singing country music. Get over here. Here's a nice vanilla nut tap.
So I walked up and said, bring you a song, make me wanna roll my windows down.
By the way, these guys played Fenway.
Oh, yeah.
With the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, man.
It was Backstreet Boys, Nelly, and Florida Georgia Line. How do you know you're not at a country concert when the Backstreet Boys are opening?
Well, I'll tell you. If I'm the Backstreet Boys, I don't open for anybody.
Tyler Hubbard of Florida Georgia Line looks like country's music take on Scott Stapp, with his flowing hair and affinity for bearskin and crosses. While on stage, he and Brian Kelly and the rest of the band sported one of their own band's T-shirts. Yes, they're an entire band of that guys.
Oh, wow.
Hubbard also handled most of the band's singing duties, including occasionally dropping into a rap-like cadence, while Kelly stood around playfully strumming an acoustic guitar that was nowhere to be heard in the mix. Congrats, bro country. You now have your Limp Bizkit, which I've been saying for years, that this is Limp Bizkit.
The guy kind of loses some credibility, though, in the beginning there. I mean, he sounds like he's not there to have a good time. I mean, he talks about the parking lot, and he's judging these people for enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds like a decent amount of fun. You go there, you want to forget your... Now, the band sucks. And my big problem with it is that it's not country music.
No, it's not. It's pop music.
It's pop music. But, I mean, this is a stodgy fella. You don't like the telling bad beer and go get your microbrew there, hipster. And gaze at your shoes. Who needs that? All right, so you went to the jam last night?
Dude, I went to the jam. Mm-hmm.
Now, was Felger there?
See, I don't know. Did he go? Did Felger go to the jam?
How many days did the jam play?
Just two. But they were here for three nights. There was one night that they took off.
Oh, just to see the sights?
I guess. I mean, I don't know why they did a day off. I have no idea.
Okay, so they showed up into town.
Yep.
Strangely enough, I know a lot of people that went.
Yeah, everybody I follow on Facebook, apparently, because they were all posting pictures.
Yeah, it's like every white dude over 40 decided that they had to go see the jam.
Essentially, they were all there, yes.
Yeah.
I guess Jaffe was sitting near me, and I didn't even know it.
Well, my wife was like, yeah, Billy went to the show last night, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's a white guy who's you know, over a certain age.
Yeah, of course he was there. Of course he was at the jam.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you went and you say you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay, so the one thing about Pearl Jam is that they are pros. I mean, they've done this a million times before, even at Fenway. So they know how to work a Fenway crowd. Now, the music was great. The set list was like older stuff, which I enjoyed because I heard last year they showed up and it was a bunch of new stuff and a bunch of people left pissed. This is almost like an apology tour. Like, we're going to play a ton of hits. And they did that. And I thought they sounded great. The show was fantastic. I haven't seen Pearl Jam since 94. Like, I was like, all right, I'm going to go see him again. Sure, it sounds good. However, they do have a little bit of, what up, panderitis? How's it going? You know, I'm really going to miss the Green Monster over here. Wow! Did you just say Green Monster? You love baseball.
He really does.
And then he was one point in there. Oh. Nick, you went, right? And he's like, we got a little friend with us up here on stage. You might know a little man by the name of Kevin Youkilis. Wow! Oh. And he comes out, we've seen you every time you've been here.
I hand him the ukulele like last time.
Here's a uke for you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Except this time they had him holding a guitar.
Was it Henny Youngman?
No, it wasn't like a prop comic type thing.
Here's a ukulele, now give me a kiss.
Yeah. At one point he was just like, all right, I want you to take that guitar and hold it up like a baseball bat. And swinging. Hey,
for real?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the girl's like, woo, it's that guy we see.
Hey, Kevin Youkilis, you're all right.
All right.
You're a pretty good player.
I got to send a shout out to my friend Theo Epstein.
Did he do that?
Oh, yeah, of course he did. Yeah, of course he did.
Theo Epstein.
I bet you Theo Epstein was there.
Yeah. No, he would. Trust me. You don't think he would have come out on stage?
Maybe he felt like he couldn't because
I think
Cubs
Pearl Jam was just in Chicago.
I was going to bring him out, but the guy from Buffalo Tom locked him in the bathroom. Here's Rockin' in the Free World, Buffalo Tom.
He was gonna come out. Wait, the guy from Buffalo Tom came out?
Oh, yeah, of course he did. You don't think that Buffalo Tom guy's not coming out on stage when Pearl Jam's here?
I don't know. The jam was just so related to the city of Boston.
Well, they're in love with Boston.
You know, when we go home to Seattle or... Yeah, I got kids, and we're riding bike week. I'm here, and we're talking to Fenway Park, the greatest arena.
Ah! You said Fenway! Woo! They even played Dirty Water. I mean, it was like...
Come on!
I mean, as great as the show was, it was just pander. And at one point, I think Eddie Vedder just got confused because he looked around and saw that he was like in a baseball. We just saw like baseballs. It's like,
you know, I gotta send a little shout out to the Hawaiian Little League baseball team. How about those guys? And win it all.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, finally, someone gave the Hawaiian Little League baseball team their due.
Well, way they beat South Korea.
here's a ukulele song. Yeah, Fenway. Hey! And then they kicked into something else.
Here's Jim Rice. Here's a bunch of rice. Why don't you hold that?
He was like the Carrot Top of grunge rockers.
Hey, Fred, I brought out this girl named Lynn.
Okay. It's Fred Lynn? Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, it's funny.
Okay. All right, let's play two. All right. Here's a song off Backspace or track 7 that nobody wants to hear.
All right, so
this is from my ukulele album, which he really made.
Yeah, I know. It's called Too Much Money.
I'm joking because the set list was great, like, but that's apparently what it was last time they were here. It was just like, all right, let's do track 17 off the album with the avocado on it that only like 8 guys who are going to yell at me for not being a big enough Pearl Jam fan end up purchasing. But it was fantastic. However, we did meet some people out in the parking lot. Nick went there yesterday. It was forever in a search to find Mike Felger as well. If anybody saw him shirtless, because that's apparently what he likes to do at the Pearl Jam shows, I would like to hear about it.
All right, we will have.
Or if anyone can remember any more like "What Up Boston" moments. I mean, he like every song had like some sort of like Fenway Park pander moment to the crowd. It was pretty astounding, to be honest.
All right, we will hear all about that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
This is the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub.